We're at CattleCon 24, and Todd, really, when we start looking at some of the issues that are hot topic issues, one of those has got to be this idea of cell cultured meat. I may say fake meat or whatever, but it's not beef the way we've grown up to understand. Why is that important?
Well, and Tony, you give it better label than I'm going to give it credit for. I'm not going to call it cell cultured meat. The terminology I've been coining, which probably isn't too politically correct, is goop, because this stuff is grown in a bioreactor. And, you know, my cows go out there and they're out in pasture, and then I bring them up and run them through one of our backgrounds or finishing yards. And those cattle are fed a balanced, healthy diet. They're maintained in a positive manner. We know what's going into them for their inputs. We don't know what's going into this bioreactor. So for your listeners out there, think of a big beer vat, and you're going to dump all of this goop in on the top of a big beer vat, and you're going to put antibiotics in it, and you're going to put other growth promotants in there, and then you're going to take a product out that looks kind of like mush. And that mush is going to be tried to be used as a filler to get into, for instance, ground beef. And that's the concern. That should be a real, real big issue for producers across America, because if we allow this mush to be used as a filler to go into ground beef, when that guy or gal reaches down into the meat cooler at the grocery store, if they don't know that stuff is in there, we are going to lose the trust of America as to the quality of our product, and we are going to lose the ability to call beef beef. And I, you know, that sounds odd, but unfortunately nowadays you got everything being called milk, and we can't go that way. We can't lose the definition that's associated with a nutritious product like beef. So I am adamant that as a producer that wants to see his son, grandson, and the next generation continue, I am adamant that this organization needs to define it and protect it so that there aren't a lot of fake products that come in and get introduced to the American public.
I'm just kind of curious here, as you're describing this, I'm also thinking about the traditional beef system that we have, and that's cattle out on grass grazing, moving into a feeding operation. The fact is they're harvesting something. There's a lot more that goes into the cattle industry other than just the output of meat at the end.
Well, there really is. I mean, there is all sorts of facets that are going to go into this. And again, that's why I think this is such a misnomer to even give this the credibility to talk about it being a meat product. Sure, it comes from a cell, but you're using these immortal cells, and that's what that's the terminology they use to replicate this. And what is happening genetically when all of that goes in there? How do you protect people from that? How is all of the other products that go into the beef, our animals, how is that going to be treated? You know, there's a myriad of questions out here. And unfortunately, this is the wealthy hoity-toity people that are advocating for this, right? This isn't mom and dad on Main Street or in the country that want this. This is the Bill Gateses of the world and Leonardo DiCaprio's. This is their answer to where they think they want us to go. Well, that's not what America wants. And frankly, that's not what the world wants. So I give credit to a country like Italy that has already banned all of this stuff. And there's a number of states that are aggressively looking to pass legislation to keep this stuff out of the markets. So go to it in your home state and get this stuff away from our public until we know that what is in this thing. You know, because they don't want to tell us what the ingredients are. They say it's proprietary. So this goop and that goop going in there, it's just like Colonel Sanders and his secret recipe. You know, but this is a secret recipe of what? I don't know, but I don't want it fed to my kids.
So I think this is a perfect transition over to the traceability conversation as well, because you want to know what's in it. You want to know where it's been. You want to know if there's been a problem as well. When we talk about traceability, are we talking about it from an offensive side of the ball or a defensive side?
Well, we're talking about traceability from the ability to protect our herd, and I'm referring to the United States, to protect our herd from something coming across the border. Let's talk about foot and mouth. So, you know, what amazes me, Tony, is that so many times I hear, well, we haven't had an outbreak since 1929. We can just ignore this. Yeah, if that's the way we want to approach it, let's go back and live in the Stone Age. I mean, if we're not going to protect our herd, if we're not going to do everything we can so that when there is a disease outbreak, and there will be in my lifetime, if we're not going to be able to isolate that animal quickly by animal disease traceability, then we've lost that war, because the economic effect to the producer, that small operator to the big operator, is going to be devastating. This is a billions and billions of dollar hit. This is going to make the Holcomb plant fire look like a cakewalk. So let's not do what so many people want to do naturally, and that's do nothing. Doing nothing is not an answer. Being progressive and protecting our herd from an outbreak is what we need to do. But I'm advocating that we do this on a voluntary basis so that producer, if they don't want to get into it, if they don't want that extra insurance policy, that's their choice. But for those that want to protect their herd, they can then get into the program and protect their herd.
And as a voluntary effort, does that say something back to the government as well, who seemingly likes to come in with more regulations every chance they get?
Well, yeah, and the government currently has a proposed rule that they have taken the comments on. That's only the breeding sector and in a large part, a lot of the dairy sector that's being impacted by that. But and that's the government saying we need that for that sector. I'm saying that America's beef producers, our cattle producers, need to voluntarily go beyond that and be able to identify their herds so that, you know, I know when my animals go into market, I can trace back and I get all of that information. But most importantly, I know that my herd is not going to be quarantined under something and it's going to be able to continue to operate at the speed of commerce.
Especially since we're looking 20 years ago at what happened in December of 2003. So we can learn lessons from the past.
Yeah, we don't need another cow stealing Christmas.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here.